77 WABC and Bergen Newbridge Medical Center honor the life of legendary broadcaster and our friend, Ernie Anastas.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130 for an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
The Roger Stone Show on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Joel Gilbert is a real mensch. He's also a very influential film and documentary producer and investigative reporter with a long record of affecting the public dialogue. He did some incisive reporting for the Gateway Pundit that pointed out that Congressman Eric Swalwell, now a would-be candidate for governor of California, doesn't actually have a California legal residence and is thus not eligible to be a candidate for governor, and that he has quite a mansion, however, in Washington, D.C., and he's got a host of other problems. So we kind of began just pulling on a thread the narrow question of the eligibility of Eric Swalwell. He's kind of the Pancho Villa to Adam Schiff, his right-wing goon, a man who first came to real national prominence when it was revealed that he was having, as a member of the House Intelligence Committee, he was having an affair with a female Chinese intelligence asset, a spy, a Matahari, if you will. Let's just say that he penetrated her and she penetrated his office with a number of employees at a time that he had full access to classified information as a member of the House committee. So the guy who accused me for 2 years of being a Russian intelligence asset is a cheerleader for Robert Mueller's Fugazi crusade to destroy Donald Trump and me in the crossfire. He is now, I think, on the ropes. This story's come a long way, Joel. Kind of take us from the beginning when you discovered the circumstances of Congressman Eric Swalwell's residence.
Okay, thank you, Roger. Well, I was looking into mortgages of Democrats mostly in Washington, D.C., other places in the country. It started with Letitia James way back. And looking at Eric Swalwell's mortgage in Washington, D.C., I noticed that he declared in sworn documents that this would be his principal residence to his bank and his deed of trust, thereby getting the lowest possible interest rate. And once I came out with that story, he got referred to the Department of Justice by Bill Polte because of the conflict that he's supposed to have a principal residence in California. So that got me looking at him in California. When he declares for governor only weeks later, he puts in a statement on his candidate statement to the Secretary of State of California, giving his home address as his lawyer's office in Sacramento. So I thought, I'm not surprised that he doesn't have an address in California because of his financial issues that I also discovered. When he first ran for Congress in 2012, Swalwell had $100,000 in student debt and also owed $100,000 on credit cards. Sure enough, 12 years later, in his last congressional statement in 2024, he hadn't paid down any of his student debts or his credit cards. So something's wrong with this guy financially. Like, where is all his money going? His wife supposedly works full-time. He's making $174,000 a year. So when I saw that he didn't have a California address, it wasn't surprising. It fit this idea that this guy's a financial mess. So I decided, after doing some research and finding out he never owned any property in Alameda County, had no rental, I decided to file something called a petition for writ of mandate to demand that the California courts instruct the Secretary of State of California not to certify Swalwell on March 26 when they certify candidates.
And you are, of course, a California state resident.
Correct.
So you have standing.
Correct. As a voter, I have standing. So I filed this, and it's actually coming up tomorrow at 9 a.m. is going to be the case. Now, on Friday, the judge actually issued a ruling, like a preliminary ruling, that didn't really favor me. But I still have a chance to argue in court tomorrow. If I don't win, I will absolutely appeal. But what Swalwell did is, all this time, if he really had an address in California, he could have just posted it on Twitter and said, here's my lease, here's my home, nothing. So last week, the sister-in-law of a campaign worker submitted a statement to the court, and she said, oh, I rented my property to Swalwell and his wife in 2017. She doesn't supply any lease, no terms, no checks, nothing, just a statement. New York Post sends their reporter out there, and they see there's a German Shepherd in the backyard. It's a 1,300-square-foot house where she lives with her husband and her son. And they talk to the neighbors. They never saw Swalwell. Tom Steyer's campaign gets into it. They actually put out a statement. They looked at Swalwell's congressional expense records and saw that every time he went to his district, he stayed in a fancy hotel, the Rose Hotel. I then looked at the tax records of Alameda County with this address in Livermore. It turns out this woman took a homestead exemption every single year for $7,000. It's a tax credit. And to get that, you're required to live in the home. So I gave all that to the court. So where it stands now is, tomorrow I'm going to simply argue to the judge, we've got actual government documents. Swalwell filled out his candidate statement and said, I live in my lawyer's office. We got this woman saying that she rented to him, but I've got evidence that she lives there and not Swalwell. So I think I have a chance to win. If not, I'm going to appeal it. But Swalwell absolutely does not have standing. He doesn't live in California. The California Constitution requires you to live in California for 5 years prior to an election. So I think he's ineligible. I think he's a total mess. And I think this is going to catch up to him. Now, in addition, you might have seen I put out on Twitter and on Gateway Pundit yesterday, in looking into all of Swalwell's background, I found evidence that he was employing an illegal alien Brazilian nanny for 2 years, violating likely immigration laws, tax laws, labor laws, and actually put in a complaint to the Department of Justice. It's on my Twitter. You can read all about it. I've got all the evidence very well documented. Swalwell seems to have a problem with immigration law. You know, he doesn't want to fund DHS. He doesn't want ICE in California. He certainly doesn't want them raiding his house, because I think they would find an illegal worker there. I also put in an FEC complaint, because it turns out that Swalwell has been charging full-time child care for 5 years to his donors, to his campaign. $300,000 worth of child care payments. In fact, the FEC says you can only charge campaign-related event child care, and you have to document it and say, I went to Pittsburgh at 4 o'clock, and I came back on Saturday, so I paid my child care worker for this one day. What Swalwell does on his disclosures, he pays full-time, year-round, 52 weeks a year, charges child care to his campaign, to his donors. So imagine what a sucker you are if you gave Swalwell money for his campaign and he's using it to subsidize his personal child care. So I actually got a call from the Federal Election Commission. They called me. They said, hey, we got your complaint. We want to know, we're going to assign this to an investigator. I said, great. How does it work? They said, well, it's going to take a couple of months, but you won't hear anything until we publish our findings. And I said, great, because I gave them all the evidence. So, look, Swalwell is, I think he's reeling right now. He calls me names on Twitter. He says it's all a MAGA conspiracy. He just had to drop his lawsuit against Bill Polte, where he tried to sue him for referring him to the Department of Justice, claiming that his mortgage that's been online for 5 years is somehow private. So I think it's a battle worth doing, because Swalwell is a disaster. He's a former attorney, district attorney. He's never done anything in his life. And if he can't manage his own finances, how does he manage a $500 billion budget of the state of California? So there's a lot to come on this, and tomorrow I'll be updating everyone on Twitter, because I have a 9 a.m. court hearing with Judge Chang. Swalwell's going to be there, and the Secretary of State's going to be there.
This is an extraordinary toss and turn for Eric Swalwell. It is absolutely clear also that the Biden administration, the Inspector General of U.S. Justice Department, the Biden administration, found that Congressman Adam Schiff and Congressman Eric Swalwell had illegally leaked classified information to various media outlets to reflect negatively on President Trump. Of course, they they have not been prosecuted for that. Just like James Comey saying under oath that he's never shared protected, sealed, or classified information with any third party and directed them to leak it to anyone, when there's email that exists to show him doing exactly that with a man named Daniel Richmond. When he got charged, a bank of left-wing judges did away with the case, not by weighing the facts or the evidence, but by disqualifying the prosecutor appointed by Donald Trump, Lindsey Halligan, a ruling that I believe will be overturned. Eric Swalwell was a full-throated cheerleader for the Russian collusion hoax, but at least in those days, he used to wear a tie. For some reason, stylistically, he seems to have gone the way of Steve Bannon. He appears unshaven, sometimes even unbathed. He looks like a man who's literally falling apart.
Yeah, look, I'll agree with you on that. If you listen to his Twitter posts, even when he gives speeches in Congress, he constantly uses the F word in public, F word, S word. Every day he's using these foul language. He doesn't shave anymore. He wants to look like one of the homeless people in his district. His strategy is he thinks if I look like a jerk and act like a jerk and I'm a big anti-Trump radical, maybe I'll get 10 or 12% of the vote in the Democrat primary that'll get me into the final runoff. And because it's a Democrat state, maybe that's my path to get elected. And the reason I filed this, Roger, is because you mentioned those other cases with Adam Schiff, we saw with Letitia James, kind of nothing happens. So I said, you know what, I can do this myself. And I wrote a lawsuit pro se. It's been very good. I've done well with it. I've had an attorney accuse me jokingly of practicing law without a license. But I am out there. I've got the case. It's coming up tomorrow. And I will appeal if I have to. And Swalwell kind of made a mistake. I went to his town hall, believe it or not, in Santa Monica back in January. And he came around and shook everybody's hand. It was supposed to be a two-hour town hall. And he came up and shook my hand and said hello. And I think he recognized me right away. And I was going to ask him, what is your address in California? So after about 20 minutes of this two-hour town hall, he cuts it off, and it's over. I think he recognized me and didn't want to expose himself to being asked the question, Eric, where do you live? He does not have an address in California. He's not eligible, and the courts are going to look at it tomorrow. If they don't agree with me, I will be appealing. I think I'll have a great appeal.
Why do you believe this? Wasn't this initially a decision by the Secretary of State? 22 seconds, kind of unfair, but why do you think he did not uphold the law?
He has a he thinks he's above the law. It happens a lot of these California and New York Democrat politicians just are never really held to account. So they don't bother following the law. They think they can get by. That's what Swalwell's counting on.
All right. Joel Gilbert, you're listening to the Stone Zone, and we'll be right back.
Did you know that St. Luke's University Health Network, based in the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, has been recognized by the U.S. government as the highest performing health system in the United States for quality? You heard right. St. Luke's number one recognition affirms our status as the top leader among the most respected healthcare providers in the nation, including Houston Methodist and the Mayo Clinic. To state it simply, if you want to receive the best care when you go to a hospital, come to St. Luke's.
Summer's a gift. The gift of days that last a little longer. A brighter state of mind. So gift yourself a new Kia at the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event. With specially tagged vehicles including the Sorento, Sportage, Carnival, as well as the Niro Hybrid. All backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So the gift of summer can keep on giving for summers to come. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Event ends 6/1/26. See dealer for warranty details.
We're talking to Joel Gilbert, investigative journalist, writes often for the Gateway Pundit, also a maker of a number of noted documentaries. It's a very interesting. Recently, you told me about the case of a man named Daniel Jones, information that you located, kind of an alternative theory of who was promoting the Russian collusion hoax. I think we now know at least at a minimum, based on the declassified documents, that players like Norm Eisen, Andrew Weissman, Robert Mueller, Rod Rothstein, and, of course, those in the original room, Obama, Biden, McCabe, the FBI director, Bren Key ringleader, the CIA director, and, of course, the general over at ODNI, and then lastly, Susan Rice, the National Security Advisor. But tell us about Daniel Jones and what's compellingly interesting about this case.
Yeah, I did do some new original research on the Russia hoax, and I studied this character named Daniel Jones. He was in the FBI for 8 years. He then worked for Dianne Feinstein on the Senate Intelligence Committee. And I identified that I believe that he was the center of the entire Russia hoax narrative, and it represented a much wider conspiracy. People remember that Daniel Jones and Christopher Steele and Fusion GPS were paid $1 million by Perkins Coie, the Democrat Party attorneys. But it turns out, I believe that was a smokescreen for a wider conspiracy and a much better funded conspiracy. Daniel Jones, it turns out, founded two investigative organizations, one called the Penn Quarter Group, another called the Democracy Integrity Project, and he got a total of $63 million for these two organizations. He pays Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele $7.5 million, about seven times more than the Democrats paid him. That he also founded this organization which disseminated the Russia hoax for years after it happened to the media, to politicians, to intelligence. He was ground zero, the center of the whole thing. He founded these organizations in April of 2016. It was the very same month that Fusion GPS was hired to create the Russia collusion hoax. So I think he was at the center of it. He was a much bigger conspirator. And I'm currently searching to find out where did he get his $63 million from, because the amount of money he had to work with and the amount of money he paid these characters pales in comparison to what the Democrats did. So I think it was a wider conspiracy with other actors that funded this guy, and I'm hoping my research will help the whole thing, who really did it, come to light.
Yeah, based on my own research, it appears a lot that these quote-unquote researchers who produced the Steele dossier at Fusion GPS essentially resold the same product three times. First, I think, to Paul Singer, the owner of the Free Beacon and unabashed neocon, I think, who may have purchased it for the benefit of Marco Rubio's presidential campaign, although there's no evidence that it was usefully used. Then, of course, selling it to Hillary Clinton in that disguised transaction, hiding it as legal fees, for which Hillary Clinton's campaign pays a massive fine. Of course, Donald Trump did that. They tried to put him in jail.
Right.
And then lastly, of course, getting it picked up at Yahoo.com is the old trick of plant a story and then point to a judge and say, here, judge, it's in the newspaper, it's at Yahoo.com, therefore it must be true. Oldest trick in the book, but that's very much how the early stages of the Russian collusion hoax begins. It is a unique cabal between the Democrats and the legacy mass media to lionize Robert Mueller, a man who was a traitor and who violated both the Constitution and the law in his efforts to try to remove a duly elected president and destroy me and General Michael Flynn and countless others at the same time. I'm confident that will be his legacy. Joel Gilbert, tell folks where they can find you on X.
Yeah, Joel S. Gilbert. Joel S. Gilbert. Check the results of the case tomorrow. Thank you, Roger.
Thanks for listening to The Roger Stone Show. You can hear The Roger Stone Show Sunday afternoons at 3. If you like the podcast, share it with your friends and listen anytime at WABCRadio.com and download the WABC Radio app. Hit that subscribe button on all major podcast platforms. Plus, follow WABC on social, on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and X. See you next time for a new episode so you never have to wonder.
What the heck is going on here?